Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John Engineering, and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. On Tuesday, August the 18th, 2020, I thought we were done with all this wood smoke. But no, it's yet another wildfire that has made for very smoky conditions in the valley. This one, the Tortolita Mountains, at least, I think it's up to about 2,500 acres and expected to grow. We are bringing Southern Arizonans together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the broadcast, the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Dr. Kelly Ward. Dr. Ward is the chairwoman of the Republican Party for Arizona, and Dr. Ward is with the president, I assume, in Yuma. How are you today?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great. The president has not arrived yet, but I am going to be able to greet him when he arrives, so I'm excited about that. The crowds here are amazing. So much enthusiasm, so much momentum for President Trump, as well as for Republicans, all the way down the ballot. We even have a bus load of people that came over here from Tucson. So it's great to see so many smiling faces of people who want to make sure that our country stays great.
And why is the president in Yuma today, Dr. Ward?
Well, today we are going to be talking about border security and how border security is national security. He's going to point out the extreme failures of the Democrat radical ticket. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are touting things like open borders, decriminalizing border crossings, giving free health care to people who break into our country illegally, amnesty and citizenship for over 11 million people. And we're going to be hearing a lot about that, I believe, from President Trump today, right here at the border, where they see what happens when the border isn't secure, because, you know, a few years ago, they didn't have a wall here in Yuma. And there were incursions across the border, massive amounts of people coming at one time. And since they have put up the wall here, those have gone to zero.
Now, are you concerned about the serious damage to the Arizona environment with the border wall? Environmentalists are saying this is really exacerbating flooding. It's hurting wildlife. Could you see this wall coming down if President Trump is not reelected?
Well, I think that certainly is the goal of the radical progressive left. Is to destroy everything that is good for our country. Look at what's happening in cities like Portland and Seattle, all across the nation in these cities that are run by Democrats. Thank goodness it hasn't come to Tucson yet, but I would say it's probably on its way with the leadership that you all have in your city. The wall is being built with the environment taken into consideration. To make sure that wildlife and fauna and flora all flourish with this necessary piece of security that we need for our country. Because we all know border security is national security.
Are you going to make it clear to the president today that you will deliver Arizona for the president? And how are you going to make that happen, Dr. Ward?
It is certainly what I am working for every single day, along with the amazing team that I have at the Republican Party of Arizona, the Trump Victory Field operation that we have that is second to none, and with the RNC, is to deliver our 11 electoral votes to President Donald J. Trump and to send him back to the White House for four more years to work with our Republican colleagues in the House and in the Senate, and also to entice our Democrat colleagues that are serving our state and others to come around to the side of sanity so that we can together do things that are good for all of the American people. And that's what Donald Trump tries to do. The Democrats, unfortunately, they don't care about the American people. They utilize them and every single group of people like Hispanics or Black Americans, Asian Americans, they use them as pawns. And a lot of those special groups are seeing that the Democrats just use them in the political arena, and they're walking away and they're coming to the Republican Party.
Former First Lady Michelle Obama painted a picture of a president who just wasn't up and hasn't been up to the task as heading this country during the worst health crisis in 100 years. What do you say to that?
I say she should probably look at the Democrats candidate, who is not up for anything, let alone being the president of the United States and one of the most important people in the entire free world. President Donald Trump and his administration have done every single thing possible to address this unprecedented pandemic in our country, and have done really almost everything right. Whenever you look at Joe Biden's plan, it's basically plagiarism of President Trump. And we all know he's great at plagiarism. He's been caught on several occasions, many occasions, almost too many to count, plagiarizing where he stands on certain things. So President Trump has delivered. He has protected. And if you remember back at the beginning of this pandemic, there were going to be millions of people who would pass away from this virus. As a physician, I'm going to tell you, you cannot hide from a virus. The virus is going to do what it does. If you look at the curves around the world and around the country, no matter if people have locked down completely or have remained free, the curve for the virus looks exactly the same. People need to be responsible for themselves. They need to wash their hands. They need to socially distance. Don't get closer than about 6 feet from someone else's face for an extended period of time. All of those things work. And, we should be doing our part to protect ourselves. Expecting non-symptomatic, non-infected people to be quarantined or to wear masks to virtue signal that they care about other people is ridiculous. And so we need some serious reform on what's going on in the health arena, and I think that that is coming down the pike as we learn even more about how to deal with COVID-19, the virus from China.
We're speaking with Dr. Kelly Ward, the chairwoman of the Republican Party. She is a physician in Lake Havasu City. Dr. Ward, did I hear you say that it wouldn't have made any difference whether we had had a mask mandate or we did not have a lockdown? Would the death toll, in your opinion, here in Arizona be about what it is right now?
I believe it would be about what it is right now. The masks there, believe me, I have a master's in public health. I am a physician. I am a scientist. I have been searching for real evidence that masks, in the way that they are being used, do anything whatsoever to stem this virus. The answer is a resounding no. Cloth masks in the general public have never been studied. Even surgical or N95 masks in the healthcare center setting are not 100% effective. So there's a lot of work to be done. Truly, we shouldn't be making our children afraid of each other and afraid of adults because they can't see their faces. We shouldn't be making adults afraid of each other, where they back away from people that they just pass on the street. That is not America. That is not freedom. We do have responsibility. If you are sick, if you have been around people who are sick, you should self-isolate. But pretending that people who do not have the virus are going to cause death in others is totally, utterly outlandish and overblown.
All right, Dr. Ward, before we let you go, you'll have a virtual convention. Will it look a lot like the Democratic convention this week?
Well, I certainly hope it looks a lot better, because it looked like a telethon or a funeral service. Actually, some of the funeral services that I've seen over the last several months have actually been more spectacular than that Democrat so-called convention. I think the Republican effort will certainly outshine what we're seeing over these last night, the next 3 days.
All right. Dr. Kelly Ward, thank you for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
All right.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Kelly Ward, the chairwoman of the Republican Party, talking with us on the live line from Yuma, where the president will be arriving very shortly. Shelley Fishman is up next, our financial planner consultant. And as is pretty typical of a Tuesday. It's kind of a flat day. But we've got some other things to talk about rather than the market that I think folks will find very interesting in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Here is Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
My week is going okay, Bill. How's yours?
This going is very well.
Week
it's political week, and so is next week.
Week,
and,
right.
You know, I kind of hearken back to those days. I actually covered one of these conventions in 1984 was the year Mondale was nominated. That was the San San Francisco convention. I was actually covering it. I'm glad I got to do it once. Let's put it that way. I mean,
it's something of a zoo, isn't it?
It is, you know, and you wear tennis shoes because you're running around everywhere and grabbing people for live shots. But it was fun. I was of an age where you could do that kind of thing and work 12 hours, get up the next day, and be ready to go again.
You're ready to go again,
yeah.
Right.
You know, Shelley, with all this talk about the conventions, there's this, I don't know, it's kind of a tradition that one party will say that they will do better financially and Wall Street will react better to one party or another.
And in fact, in the lead up to the elections every 4 years, you get conflicting reports from experts who will say opposite things.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, just last week in Market Watch, there were two articles, one predicting that the markets would crash in advance of a Biden presidency, and the other reassuring people, saying, wait a second. We have no evidence that there is any negative results to the economy of a Democratic presidency. In fact, the article said, if you take a look at history, the Democrats do better on the economy and on markets than Republicans do. Which caused me.
And that's what I'm going to say. You know, speaking of history, you have done your research, and I have in front of me, since 1949 up through 2019, a look at the economic performance during each administration.
Right.
And
so what
it's
I did
really
is I broke it down into four-year segments, of course.
I think people are going to be surprised by what you are going to say.
Well, I think your former guest would have been very surprised by
so.
What I'm about to say.
Yeah, well.
So here's the... the bottom line, if we take a look at, and I didn't take the years right after World War II, mm-hmm. because those were just fantastic years,
sure.
and that would have not been fair. And I didn't take this year in Trump's presidency
because of the pandemic. Sure.
So I tried to make this about as fair as I could. We start from the end of World War II or the late 40s, because if we go back into the 30s and the late 20s, Republicans get wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a look at the number of recessions we have had since 1949, we've had 12.
Mm-hmm.
And of 12 recessions, 10 of them have happened during Republican administrations and 2 during Democratic administrations. I'm not making this up, Bill.
I have your figures right in front of me. And I'm very, very surprised.
If you take a look at GDP growth during that same period of time, the results during Republican years, on average, has been 2.77% GDP growth over this 70-year period of time. The results for Democrats is 3.65%, 30% higher. So growth during Democratic administrations has been 30% higher than growth during Republican administrations. The highest results were in the first Kennedy-Johnson administration, 4.7%, then the Johnson administration, 5.1%, and then, of course, in the Clinton administration, 4.45%. The 3 years of the Trump administration, we have 2.5%. So let's look at markets. And these are numbers for the S&P. I've worked them for the Dow as well, but the S&P, of course, is a broader range.
Right.
The numbers reflect about the same thing. The average growth of the S&P in general over the past 100 years has been about 12% a year.
Mm-hmm.
If we take a look at the results for Republicans during the period from 1949 to 2019, the average growth has been 6.87%. The average growth for Democratic administrations during the same period has been 12.43%, twice as high.
You did the Wall Street, the Dow as well. Can you say generally what that
generally
was?
About the same.
About the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and if people are wondering, well, what Democrats did have a recession? There were only two in that period from 49 to 2019. Carter had one.
Carter had
you
one.
You know, he had one, and that
and
was
Truman.
Truman had one, but Carter's was, you know, the gas lines, the image for those that lived through that, we remember those, and the inflation, you know, crazy.
Right. So we had oil embargoes
during
the 70s,
right.
And that affected Nixon. Mm-hmm. But it went on. We had another embargo during the Iranian crisis under Carter. So even with that, if we take a look at the Carter administration, he only had one from 1977 to 1980. The average growth was still 3.25% during his four-year administration, and the average growth of the S&P during those 4 years was 6.91%. And if we look at not the average, but if we take a look at where he started with the S&P and where he wound up, that was a 6.77 annual growth.
What do you make of all this? Because the pundits always like to say, well, like you pointed out just recently, if Biden is elected, there's just going to be a disaster on Wall Street.
Well, that's what one of the articles said,
right.
because of regulation and because of higher taxes and because of a general business climate that is somewhat antagonistic to business. At least that's the story that we hear from Republicans. Now, the results in no way affirm that intuitive belief that Republican policies of low taxes and smaller government are better for growth or better for the markets. But people believe that because it feels intuitively right.
It does.
But when you take a look at the numbers, they just don't back that up. So what I think about when I think of policy, tax policy, regulatory policy, and you know, the general business climate, is the difference between short-term results and longer-term results in how businesses perform and conduct what they do. So Democrats tend to take a longer view of policy. Republicans tend to take a shorter view of policy on a quarterly basis or a year-over-year basis. They want to reduce taxes and believe that somehow by reducing taxes, corporate profits will increase, and therefore there'll be a trickle-down effect through investment to the rest of the population. We have no evidence that that is true, but Bill, it feels so right.
No
kidding.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you get what's called confirmation bias. In other words, this is what you believe, have been taught to believe, and have believed for a long time, and no amount of facts put in front of you will convince you that the things you believe may in fact be questionable.
What happened for poor General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, to have, I'm looking at his numbers, he had three recessions in his two terms. In his second term, he had two.
Right. Well, one of them was caused by a pandemic.
Polio.
No.
It was a flu pandemic. 1957.
Right.
He had a real bad one. Yeah.
You know what? Eisenhower had a fairly good administration when it came to economic policy. I mean, he had one of the highest S&P growths of 16.86% in his first administration,
mm-hmm.
On average. A second administration cut that in half by about 7.3%. But what Eisenhower was living through was, you know, after 20 years, 24 years of Democratic administrations, Eisenhower, and he wrote a wonderful book, which, you know, for us historians...
Is ancient history.
It's ancient history, too, yeah. But it's also a little bit revisionist.
Okay.
It's called Mandate for Change.
All right.
I don't know who he ghostwrote it with, but he talks about all of the things that he felt he needed to change that had been built up since the first Roosevelt administration. And he had Republican support in the Senate and the House. And so he got his way economically to a very great extent. At the same time, what he experienced during his administration was interesting, because he felt the power of what he called and he dubbed the military-industrial complex.
He coined that, I think.
He coined that. And so what he said is we've got to be careful of these guys because they don't necessarily have the best interests of the nation in mind. They have the best interests of what's good for them economically. And then you get this famous quote, you know, what's good for the auto business is good for the nation. And we know that those things don't always coincide.
Now, Republicans would say, and I've only got a minute here, in their defense, that some of these administrations inherited a bad economic situation. You hear President Trump talk about that with Obama.
Well, he inherited a very good situation from Obama, actually. But clearly, for instance, you can take a look at the second Bush administration having inherited the very beginning of the dot-com bubble bursting. And so if you want to not count that recession, then it's Republicans 9 and Dems 2. That's still pretty weighted. You can also talk about the first Reagan recession and say, well, that was deliberately caused by the Fed chair at the time in order to slow down the economy because of inflation. Okay, so now we're looking at 8 out of 10. But yes, if this were a 20-year period or a 30-year period, I'd say, okay, fine, the samples are too limited to make generalizations. This is 70 years.
Yeah, it is. And I'm really, it's just been eye-opening for me. And I thank you very much, Shelley, for doing that research. Very surprised.
It was actually fun to do because I'd done it a couple of years ago and needed to redo it and reinstall it in my head.
Perfect. Shelley, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a great week.
You too.
All right.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery.
All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Green Things is our go-to place for everything green. And a lot of people are saying, you know, what could I plant that will survive this crazy, hottest ever, driest ever summer? There are things that you can do. And Jan and Jack, the owners at Green Things, would be more than happy to show you some very drought-resistant plants over at Green Things. 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo Village and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come visit the tour and tour the five shops at Zocalo Village, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. One of my favorite places to take certainly out-of-town guests is Mission San Javier del Bac, affectionately known as the White Dove of the Desert. With us now on the live line is Miles Green. Mr. Green is the executive director of the Patronato San Javier. Mission San Javier is a National Historic Landmark and was included on the World Monument Fund's watch list in 2015. The Mission is Arizona's oldest European-inspired building. It is currently undergoing a multi-million dollar conservation. Miles, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you and your team handling the Mission in this time of crisis? Is the Mission still open for visitation?
Well, the Mission is open limited hours only, at the moment 9 through 12, and primarily it's being opened in order to allow the community of Wak to have access. Of course, visitors can come by, but they're really attempting to keep a fairly low profile at this point.
This pandemic hit at a time when you were you had started some conservation work. Why don't you give us the overview of what has been done and what needs to be done, Miles Green?
Well, at the moment, our major project is the East Tower. The East Tower was originally spec'd to launch in 2010 when the West Tower was completed. But at that point, you might recall we had a financial crisis that saw the state pull some funding that they'd offered us through their Historic Preservation Fund network. And so we were really in a position of looking to how we would backfill those funds. In 2015, the county had worked with us to provide in their bond allocation a significant chunk of money that they were asking us to match that would have seen the project come to fruition. But you might recall that those funds, too, that the voters turned down all of the bond packages. So we have really been in the process of really finding all of the funds necessary to do the East Tower project, which currently is somewhere in the vicinity of about a $2 million project. We have been fortunate in just getting a fairly significant grant from a funding entity out of Philadelphia and Chicago, the Fund for Sacred Places. It's a large foundation that chooses select projects across the country, and it's the only funding source that's providing funds to deal with churches and the like. So those funds have really provided a good kickstart to our campaign, and we're about halfway to goal at the present time.
In an earlier media life, when I was at Channel 6, I was fortunate to work on a couple of projects with the group that did the conservation there from the that had worked at the Vatican.
Right.
That really changed the whole look. It restored the Saint-Navier really back to its original glory, and you've been able to keep with conservation, you've been able to maintain that look, correct, Miles?
Yes. I mean, the interior project, like any building of this kind, conservation maintenance is really ongoing. So the team that came from Italy and Turkey in really the 1990s for 7 years was able to do the first major conservation of the interior artwork. And a lot of that was cleaning away really 2 centuries worth of candle grease, dust, dirt, and it did really change the whole appearance of the interior. But that work is ongoing. We probably spend almost $100,000 a year just to maintain the interior alone. And so that work is part of an ongoing process. And in fact, the East Tower, when it's done, is really just the end of the first wave of conservation on the main church building. There are 3 other significant historic pieces to the overall profile. So the work really rolls out for at least another 15 years, we're anticipating.
I was delighted that this book, 50 Great American Places, which highlights places of exceptional significance and kind of underscores the key themes in American history. There is one place in Arizona, one place that exactly made the list, and I am so delighted that Mission Saint-Javier made the list. That's a book by, I believe, Dr. Brent Glass.
Brent Glass, yes. Right. And actually, we had Dr. Glass out here maybe 18 months ago. He gave a really fascinating set of lectures both here and in Phoenix to really share his story of why Saint-Javier had made the cut of 50 great places. And it's not 50 great places, one for each state. He actually really highlights 50 places of significant cultural presence that were really instrumental in the development and making of our nation. So we are delighted that Saint-Javier made the cut.
And did he articulate a couple of reasons why Saint-Javier made the list?
Well, yes, he did. One of the things that he highlights is the extraordinary intersection of cultures that came together when, you know, Padre Kino came through this area. And unlike other missionaries, he really had a sense of wanting to promote the position of the Native American people. So he was really not just interested in proselytizing, but also providing opportunities that would enhance the lives that he came across. So, you know, there was this fascinating blending of cultures. It wasn't so much around domination as we typically think of colonialism, that there seemed to be a shared spirit of people coming together in order to learn from one another. And I think that kind of defines a lot about what makes Saint-Javier a special place even today.
And it is an active mission, an active parish, and but you do welcome many, many visitors in a more pre-pandemic year. I think you had about 200,000 visitors annually coming through, and we will all pray for better days when we can once again welcome visitors who can take more than just a peek inside, correct, Miles?
Correct, yes.
Again.
And in fact, I think your figure is a little low. I think, you know, after the Grand Canyon and the Desert Museum, that I think Saint-Javier represents an anchor attraction, though we don't like to think of it as a tourist destination. We rather think of it as a special place of significance that people should come and enjoy just for what it represents.
And before we go, we did have a listener who wants the name of the book again. That's 50 Great American Places, correct?
Correct.
And the author is Dr. Brent Glass.
Yes, Dr. Glass was the prior director of the Smithsonian Museum of American History.
All right. And if people want to give a gift to the Patronato, what would be the best way?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.patronatosanjavier.org, or you could send something in an envelope to P.O. Box 522, Tucson, Arizona. But the website is really informative. It gives a lot of information about our current projects, of which we have four significant ones going on, including the first ever conservation of the original doors at the mission.
Wow.
And we have five sets that we'll be dealing with across the next 5 years. And so that's a really exciting project.
Those are really neat, massive doors. So that's going to be great.
Well, we're doing the west doors first. So those are the side doors leading out into the courtyard.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Miles Green, a pleasure. Thank you, Miles.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to talk with you.
Miles Green, he is the executive director of the Patronato San Javier, one of my favorite places. And I think I've got plenty of company. It's such a beautiful spot. San Javier del Bac, the white dove of the desert. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday afternoon. Dr. Mark Sykes waiting on the live line. We'll join him right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of our program is also presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start planning to visit Silver City. Perhaps the fall would be, and I know it would be, an absolutely beautiful time of year when the aspen trees start to turn. Catherine. So you'll be ready when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. We hope that will be coming very soon. It's only a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Plan now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, where to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which for nearly 50 years has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. You can find out more about their work at psi.edu. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, great, Bill. It's good to be back.
You've been pretty busy. I know you do the annual retreat the end of August. This year will be a little bit different.
Yeah, understatement. Life with everything. You know, there's no face-to-face meetings to be had, and so we're organizing our first online retreat where we expect to have over 150 people participating from around the world.
Wow.
And so I've been learning a lot about Zoom and, other things. And we've been even because you know, we put everything kind of in the middle of the day, right? And so that's not too bad for East Coast, and it's not too bad for our people in Europe. So we have a reprise of some sessions at like 7 o'clock at night for our people in Asia, India, and Australia, and New Zealand. So
yeah, for the Aussies and the Kiwis, the noon here would be a little bit kind of early. How do you do something like that? I mean, with Zoom, 150 people, do they all kind of log in then to a central point? I'm kind of curious how it works.
Well, it's been an interesting to figure out, and the nice thing with a lot of things on the web is that if you like what somebody else does, you can steal it. And so, in terms of the practice, and so there was another science meeting that was doing. You know, instead of everybody signing into the same Zoom account, there is one Zoom account for like the plenary sessions where that everybody, you know, is to see. But then breakouts and stuff are all in separate Zoom rooms. Every person, quote, coming to the meeting gets their own Zoom account. And so that means that, yes, we have one plenary place where everybody goes to see the main lectures. And but then we have some official breakout things, like to talk about our telescope in the south of Arizona or something going on Mars or whatever. And so that'll be in the Zoom room of the host, and everybody clicks on that to go there at that time. But then if somebody, because everybody has their own Zoom room that we provide, if somebody says, you know, I don't want to go to any of these things, hey, could you few join me and we could talk about this in my room? then that's because at our retreat, when we bring everybody in from around the country and around the world, we spend most of our time not just sitting in, you know, a dark room listening to people talk, but it's devoted to interactions. So people can have spontaneous conversations, meetings, group meetings, and it's out of that interaction that new research projects and new insights into existing projects come about, and it's kind of the most exciting part of our retreat. So we're trying to replicate that online, and I think by giving everybody their own room to drag other people into when they want to, you know, talk or have a, you know, that affects that we'll see. The desire is that it effectively reproduces casual conversations in the hall.
I wonder how this will change the whole character of these kind of. I still think in person is the way to go, but I'm sure this will, you know.
I think it's going to change things forever.
Really?
Yeah, because there may be some time in the future, who knows when we can confidently have face-to-face meetings again. But this opens, going through this process opens up the door to participation by a far larger group of people that might otherwise be able to travel someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you really want to maximize the participation of a community in a discussion of a subject, you know, having a combination of both face to face, but the ability to have online participation that's robust. At the same time, I'm thinking that's the wave of the future.
Now, what will the scope of your projects, the participants will update everyone on from A to Z, like what to what? Asteroids
from Mercury to Pluto and beyond, and solar systems around other stars. In fact, we just brought on a person who does star formation, and we're going to have a special breakout section. Now that we're finding thousands of other solar systems around other stars, then the question is, what are the architectures over those different solar systems as a function of the type of star that they're orbiting, and what do we know about how those stars form, and can we say something about what early conditions are going on across all these different stars that give rise to these different solar systems? And so it's a whole new area of a topic to be able to discuss. And so we're going to get together some of the, leaders in these areas to sit down together and just have a, chew the fat about in an online kind of way to discuss, well, how do we probe this? What kind of new facilities that are coming up online on the Earth could we use to probe, some of these areas and better understand, what's going on. And it's going to be really exciting. And I'm thinking it'll lead to new proposals and kind of a new frontier of solar system formation research.
When we talked last month, Dr. Sykes, we talked about, I think, three launches of spacecraft headed for Mars, and that they will join really a dozen or so craft that are already circling Mars. So I guess next year will be a very, hopefully very fruitful for that hunt for life.
February. February, where these three spacecraft arrive, one from the UAE, United Arab Emirates, one from China. And the Chinese one has both an orbiter and a lander, the first time that's been done, with one spacecraft. And then the U.S. is landing its Perseverance thing, which will be like the Curiosity or the MSL, Mars Science Laboratory, that was, landed using a sky crane, which you think about it and you go, how can that possibly work? But it does. And a lot of really great, science will be conducted. Perseverance is landing in Jezero Crater, which is a site of an ancient lake, a couple billion years ago. And but the further interesting thing about where it's landing is that I think we've mentioned last time is that one of our scientists, Alexis Rodriguez, has determined that really early in Mars that it was because of these huge impacts going on, the planet was covered with muddy rain that formed a deposit about a kilometer thick of mud, and which would be a potential place where life could arise. And in Jezero Crater, near Jezero Crater, there's this area where some of this mud has been excavated and has flowed into that crater. And so when Perseverance has gone around studying the samples, it'll be studying some of the most ancient material on the surface of the planet.
So is that where they filmed Apocalypse Now? No, that's that was the jungle in Thailand, folks.
The next time we send a boat up in space, we can do that.
Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. We'll look for all the work you do and your team at psi.edu. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, that's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We always, I think we do a pretty darn good job of cramming a lot of content, varied content, into a 60-minute window over your lunch hour, and we will do it all again tomorrow. And it's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Tomorrow, Dr. Victoria Mazes from the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine will be joining us at the top of the program. Hope you have a great afternoon. On behalf of my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing, have a good one.